Experience. Live. Loveshaped.life.
Hey, I'm Nathan again, and my friend Bob here on the Love Shaped Life podcast. We're so glad you're joining us again. This is the last episode of Season 3, Episode 6. The Love Shaped Life podcast is a place where we reflect on what it means to see, experience, and live in the center of God's radical love. So this podcast season has been focused on expanding the lens, looking through the lens of what it means to love in the context of Scripture, as we've come to understand it and as we experience it in our lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're seeking to define love, right? Mm-hmm. Remember, we've talked about the confusion in regard to love in the world in which we live in.
Yeah.
In the English language, we have that just one word for love, and we use it so loosely.
We do.
Again, I love your shirt. I love chocolate. I love this. You know, we use it loosely.
Yeah.
So it does create confusion.
Mm.
And then there's a lot of songs, lots of love songs that touch our hearts,
mm-hmm.
and you know, well written. But oftentimes, those love songs are about something we wish we had.
True, or something very shallow.
Or something very shallow.
That makes us feel good.
Right, right. When the feeling's gone, I can't go on. Right? You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I love you, but when the feeling's gone, I can't go on. So now we're on to somebody else,
yes.
Right? And the movies, the Hollywood movies, right?
Mm.
Sometimes my wife likes to watch these Hallmark Christmas movies,
sure.
Right? So we sit there and we watch this Hallmark Christmas movie, which is a love story, and it's very touching, and then it ends, and then the next one begins, and it's got the same actors, only a different storyline. So it's not, you know, it's just, it's not real,
right?
But it's very touching. So, but it's drawing to us because that's our desire.
Yes.
Our desire is to experience love.
Yes.
And that's the way God created us. Remember, we talked about that in a previous episode,
mm-hmm.
that to love and be loved is what every heart
mm-hmm.
longs for,
mm-hmm.
right? That's the need of the human heart. And we looked at that the only one that can really fill that gap is God himself.
Mm-hmm.
And God mm-hmm. is love.
Mm-hmm.
1 John 4:8, three words, God is love. We defined what love was,
mm-hmm.
the agape love in the Greek language in the New Testament describing God. Other-centered love, self-sacrificing mm. love. Love's not based on your behavior,
mm-hmm.
but just love's because of who God is,
mm-hmm.
right? That's who God, that's the nature of that love.
Yes.
And that's the love that God wants to bring us back into,
mm.
right? And so we went back to the Genesis story, we looked at God in the beginning of the creation story and what it was like inside the framework of what we call the Godhead,
mm-hmm.
and this other-centered love that existed between them.
Mm-hmm.
And we looked at the creation story and how God created Adam and Eve in their own image. And we looked at the fall. I mean, we've covered it, right?
So in their own image, specifically meaning that as in, whether we say the God family or God being in community, the three divine beings giving and receiving love in that circle of love, that they're expanding that,
mm-hmm.
that the human
correct.
Family
yeah.
it was intended to be an extension integrated into that rhythm of giving and receiving love that continues to expand.
Yes.
That the flourishing relational fabric in which we're meant to exist was one of giving and receiving love
mm-hmm.
as essential to our being as water is. That nothing we take in, as you mentioned at the beginning, nothing we take in will satisfy us
nothing.
Unless it's the genuine thing, that radical other-centered love.
Mm. Yeah, because you remember we looked at what Jesus said to the woman at the well.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever drinks of the water that I give them will never thirst again.
Yeah.
He wasn't talking about physical water. He was talking about the life that flows out from him,
mm-hmm.
which is God is love. So it was the love
yes.
that flowed out from him.
Yeah.
That once it flows into us, we'll never thirst again.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be satisfied.
That's you know? Right.
So we looked at that when God created again Adam and Eve, he was inviting the human race into that circle of love
mm-hmm.
with God himself.
Mm-hmm.
Because God is love and God needs love. And that's
mm-hmm.
a different perspective that we see, but God actually needs love because
yes.
that's who he is. That's
mm-hmm.
what agape love does. It gives, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it also receives.
Mm-hmm.
So just like he created us to need love, that's because he needs love as well,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So this circle that he created, love flows out from God, the creator, into mm-hmm. us, mm-hmm. into his created beings, and back to him.
Mm-hmm.
And then we looked at that element in Genesis chapter 3, where the fallen angel, the serpent, the cunning one, came in and instituted a lie into Eve and then Adam's mind, and they bought into it, and it broke that circle of love.
And that the result of that, once that circle is broken, the moral collapse of the human family, begins.
Mm-hmm.
We see it right off the bat, first in this kind of surprising recognition, Adam and Eve feeling the weight of shame begin to settle in, and then that immediately showing up in how they relate to each other, the blame game starts. It's not my fault, because of the woman. It's not my fault, it's because of the right. snake. It's not my fault, it's because of you, God, if you hadn't done... And that's just kind of the first signs of this moral collapsing that begins to happen.
Which was buying into the devil's lie, which was, you don't need to trust God. You don't need to follow God. You don't really be connected in that circle with God.
Yeah.
You can do your own thing. So selfishness entered into the human race.
Right, the I am out for me.
Right.
And once that came in, it gave us what we have today.
Yeah, a moral collapse.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so all the pain and suffering and heartache that's gone from the Garden of Eden all the way to our present time is all the result of that.
Right. And as you mentioned as well, that suffering is not because God's angry and whipping human beings psychologically or in other ways, but because moral failure has in it the repercussions of the violation.
It's a law, right? Just like the law of gravity, this circle of love that flows out from God into us and back to him. It's a law. If you step outside that circle, you're breaking that law, so to speak. You know, the we breathe in oxygen, the plants give off that oxygen. We breathe out carbon dioxide, the plants take it in. So it's a circle, right? But if we choose to stop breathing in the oxygen by putting a paper bag over our head, right, we break the cycle and we suffer the consequences.
Right, it's a good point.
We're suffering the consequences because we're choosing not to breathe in oxygen anymore. God is not sending that punishment upon us.
That's
the choice that we're making.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So that's what the devil wants us to think, that every time something bad happens to us, even as a result of our own choices, because God's angry and God is punishing us, so to speak, where oftentimes we're suffering just the consequences of the wrong choices that we're making. Sometimes we're suffering the consequences because of what other choices people have made towards us.
True.
So it's not just about, it's just the nature of a sinful, selfish world.
Which is fascinating that we can never, and there may be some rare exceptions, but as a general rule, moral violation that I do is essentially never just me that's impacted. So while I may not be engaging in giving and receiving love, I'm still a part of this fabric of the human family. And when I violate, there is that impact that ripples out from me into the pieces of the web that my life is connected to. And so I can't just live for myself and only me be impacted. That starts to pull down the people who may just get a negative, we call them negative vibes, walking into the room, or that I can literally, nobody knows what happened that morning, but the state in my life can literally affect the mood in the room, because we're wired to have ripple effect intimacy. And when selfishness steps into that, the ripples still move through the human family.
Like the Bible says, no man liveth unto himself. Right? We're not an island unto ourselves. We all affect each other. You know, I came from a home where my dad, unfortunately, was an alcoholic. His alcoholism, his drinking, affected all of us. just creates instability and
right.
all kinds of things and mm-hmm. affecting everybody. So it's, again, those choices we make. So we looked at that in Genesis chapter 3. We're kind of reviewing where we came from, right?
Right?
We looked at the fall. We call it the fall, or this moral collapse.
Mm-hmm.
And then we looked at, in Genesis chapter 3, in our last episode, how God stepped in.
There's some hope.
There was hope. Yeah.
Right.
God steps in, comes like his usual routine, looking for Adam and Eve in the cool of the day, just asking, where are you?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We noticed something. He hadn't changed at all. God didn't change at all.
Yes.
Right? They changed.
And that was a point that we've drilled home in the last episode, but that came in last night again, over and over again, saying, God's the same.
God is the same. That's good news. There's something stable
news.
In our world,
mm-hmm.
right? Human beings, we're not
change.
Very stable. We change, right? Human beings change.
Predictably change.
Predictably change. Well, one thing doesn't change, and that's who God is.
Yes.
That's the character of God. The Bible says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Yes. And you know, I'm trying to be careful about jumping in, but I want to jump in on this one because when we think of God not changing, sometimes we think of like the parent who says, well, good luck for you. I'm not changing my mind. And we think of, so it brings to mind this idea that God is not justice. God is not fairness. God is not rules. However, God is love. The core thing that's unchanging is that God loves radically, period. I mean, just that picture comes to mind, like the unchangeable thing, the core thing that is not changing is the core identity of God, which is this radical, other-centered love.
Correct.
That's the thing. That is not changing.
We change.
Right.
But our behavior doesn't change God.
Right.
That's what we've got to get a clear picture. This is the truth about
mm-hmm,
God.
Mm-hmm.
That the choices we're making are changing us, but it's not changing the way God feels about us.
Right.
His love for us is still just as strong as ever.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to see us go down a self-destructive path. Just like with Adam and Eve, he was calling them out.
Right.
They were hiding, right? He was calling them out gently to seek to restore them
mm-hmm.
back into that relationship that he had with them.
Mm-hmm.
He knew that an enemy had taken them captive. He knew that they had bought into a lie.
Mm-hmm.
But he wasn't angry. He wasn't like, I told you guys, now you made your bed, now you're going to lay in it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Good luck. He didn't hammer them with all the stupid things that they did and the choices that they make. He came to restore them back into a right relationship of love with himself.
Mm-hmm.
So then he tells them in Genesis chapter 3:15, he makes this promise to them that he would step in. Right? That he would send, which we know the story comes out, that he would send his son mm-hmm. into this world mm-hmm. to become one of us
mm-hmm.
at a period of time to demonstrate not only what love was, but to recreate another human being that could love the way God originally intended for us to love and not fall a prey
mm-hmm.
to this being, this fallen angel who was trying to tempt him and pull him into selfish living.
Right.
And he didn't yield to that. Even on the cross, remember,
mm-hmm.
even on the cross, when he was trying to say, come down and save yourself, he didn't yield to that.
Mm-hmm.
He gave himself.
No self-interest.
No self-interest. Even forgave those. Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. He even forgave those who were crucifying him.
Mm-hmm.
That's who God is.
That's so powerful to be thinking about. To even try to wrap our minds around, which is why we say in the love-shaped life, kind of the core rhythm is to see the reality of who God is. In other words, to understand it, to take it in. Okay,
right.
Here's the fact.
Right.
And then to meditate, to really, and I just, even as we're talking, I'm thinking of what you're saying and the value of meditating, like really turning over. What does it mean if this is really who God is? If God really, truly, if his love is really full throttle toward me, no matter my behavior, no matter my response to him, just because I think of relationships where somebody hurts us, we dial it back.
Right.
But God never dials back. There's never a time where he takes his foot off the accelerator. Mm-hmm. It's all out all the time for God in loving. And I just think, like, turning that, what does that mean if I just process that, mm-hmm. really think, what does it mean if I accept that? Okay, what if I accept that is true in my life? What if I accept that that's how God sees me? There's never been anything I've done or can do that's going to slow down or shut that down. Mm-hmm. What does that mean in how I live?
Well, I want to reiterate meditation, right? So meditating upon it is processing this, processing what we're seeing in God, this beauty of what we're seeing in God. So we're processing in our mind. We're reflecting upon it. Imagine that your mind was a garden and the soil, you know, your mind was a soil and it had weeds in it. So you want to pluck the weeds out, which would be the lies that are in our minds about God or whatever baggage we got in there. Yeah. And we want to plant in there a good seed to grow up and to flourish. And that good seed is the beauty of who God is. The good seed is allowing God to enter your heart.
Those clues we're pulling in from Scripture of, oh, this is the way he is. Oh, this is the way he is. We're planting that and allowing that to flourish.
Yeah, and it'll transform your life.
Yeah.
It'll transform your life because that's what God is doing. He wants to transform our life. You know, again, through Jesus, the Messiah that would come to create a new human being capable of once again loving the way God intended us to love, the agape love, right? This new human being. So this Messiah who died on the cross for your sins and mine, now the Bible's saying that we can have a new heart, right?
And a new heart?
A new heart I'll give you, a new spirit I'll put within you. I'll take the stony heart out of your flesh, and I'll give you a heart of flesh that you may walk in my statutes and keep my judgments and do them. I know that's a lot in that package, but unpacking it a little bit. All it's saying is that, look, because of Adam and Eve's fall, we've inherited a sinful nature.
So let's just talk about, I mean, so are you talking about things as simple as I grow up in a home where there's abuse, or I grow up in a home where my parents behave this way, and those behaviors then affect how I operate as a human being? Their choices, even, we're even finding out their choices affect my genetics. Is that what you're talking about when you're kind of going there, that we have this impact of passing down the brokenness and the...
I am, yes, but we look at what we know as the law of heredity, right?
Right.
So our children have not only certain maybe perhaps eye colors or hair colors that are from either ourselves or from our wives or from, you know, their grandparents, right?
Yep.
These are things that are passed down already. But that, not only that, they have certain traits of character.
Yes.
That are passed on down. Some of our children may be of a little milder temperament.
Sure.
They may reflect the wife or the husband, right? Some may have a little more intense of a temperament. These are things that we inherit. So Adam and Eve being the first parents, right? When they sinned against God, their nature had changed. They went from living in this rhythm of unselfishness with God to now what was created in them was a selfish spirit, a self-centered life, right? So that's what they inherit. So that is what's been passed down to us. You follow?
Yes.
So yet that has been now, you know, more ingrained through habits of a home life, through what we've seen perhaps in a world of the education or the choices that we made, right? We have inherited tendencies. We have cultivated tendencies. We have tendencies that, again, we've just, by our own wrong choices, have developed. So all these have impacted our character in regard to what the Bible would call this self-centered living.
And, right.
But Jesus has created a new opportunity.
Right, yes.
For us not only to be forgiven for all the things that we've done wrong. God is saying that he'll cast all of our sins into the depths of the sea, right? As far as the east is from the west, that God will remove our sins from us.
Right.
That we can have that type of forgiveness with God, a new beginning and a new start. But then he goes even more than that. He's not just forgiving. He's saying, I'm going to give you a new heart. This is a divine act. where God is going to recreate something in us, a heart that is capable of loving like Him.
Mm. So right? New ways of thinking, new ways of feeling, new ways of relating to others, new ways of how we see people, new ways of how we interact.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
So that's when you're talking about a new heart. We're yes. talking about like this yeah. inner transformation Correct. Of forming my heart in the shape of God's other-centered yeah. love.
What Jesus created in his life, if we look at the life of Jesus, which he was love in the flesh, right? God in the flesh. And what he created as a human being and what he resisted the temptation to be. So love conquered hatred. Unselfishness conquered selfishness in his life. That's the life that he's offering us. This is why he says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. It's a divine act. It's a gift.
That's powerful.
That God is offering us.
Right, which we've talked about the idea that human civilization highly advanced. As far as we can tell, we're the most technologically advanced place in society. But we can't solve the most basic issue of treating other human beings with decency. And what you're saying is, that's because that transformation requires a divine act
Correct.
In the human heart.
That's exactly right.
So we can have treaties, yeah. we can have self-help programs, but the reason they all fall short is until we come to lean into the God doing something inside of us.
Correct.
We're always going to fall short. We
right.
can't follow through on our best dreams of being good to one another unless God is the one who gives birth to something new inside of us.
Exactly. And that something new was created in the life of Christ. That something new, what was promised in the Garden of Eden, right? When Adam and Eve fell, God is saying to Adam and Eve, look, you messed up,
right.
but I'm creating a way to restore you and to heal you and to bring you back into harmony with me. And I'm investing myself into creating that. To make that happen for you. So I'm going to send my son to become a human being and to create that life for you, a life that would be faithful, a life that could love from an unselfish capacity, something that, like you said, in a world with as far advanced as we are with technology, cannot create. You know, astronauts go up into space and you see these beautiful pictures of looking back down into Earth and the planet Earth, right? The planet. And you see this beautiful planet. It's absolutely gorgeous. It's stunning. And you're saying, wow, look at that technology that man can be up there in space
right.
and be looking back at Earth. But going down into Earth is still wars in people's homes. Still hatred on the streets, still mass shootings, still wars of nation against nation, still people being raped every so many seconds, still abuse happening, still human traffic happening.
It strikes me as absurd then that we would have dreams of leaving for Mars.
Well, if it's a dream.
Yeah. What I'm saying is that we would be dreaming of travel to Mars when we have not solved the most basic question of living civilized with each other.
Yeah, if you travel to Mars, you're just bringing the problem with you, right?
Because the problem
is the selfish heart of man.
Yeah, yeah.
And the only solution to that is through the Messiah, through the Savior of the world, which is Jesus Christ.
And I think it's really worth pointing out that what you and I are not proposing is a self-help program for thinking positive, I guess what I'm trying to say is we're not providing a 10-step self-help program. We're saying the 10-step self-help program can never address the problem because it's not about adaptive behavior. It's about leaning into the love of God and leaning into this work of the Holy Spirit, the supernatural work of God in the context of God's radical love, that there is no 10-step solution that needs to be figured out.
Right.
It's supernatural. I think it's really important for us to acknowledge that, and for you as you listen to acknowledge that, that there is no solution outside of God stepping in and doing something.
It's actually good news,
right? It is good news,
because
absolutely.
We try, and you can try to be better at this and better at that. And there's a part, there's a point for us, you know, a place
absolutely.
For us to participate and cooperate, even thinking more positively
absolutely.
And so on and so forth. But
yes.
in this arena, the fundamental need of the human heart is this recreation.
Yes.
What God is promising, a
right.
new heart I will give
yep.
you, a new yep. spirit I will put within you. I'll take the stony heart out,
mm-hmm.
and I'll give you a heart of flesh. For what reason? That you may walk in my statutes,
mm-hmm.
and keep my judgments, and do that, so that you can live this new life.
Yes,
right?
Exactly. But isn't that why we talked about the four key principles of a love-shaped life, where we said those key principles are not try to be more courteous to your spouse, try to say 10 positive words a day. It's why those four steps are C.
Mm.
We're observing, let's just say that. We're observing the truth of a God who loves radically. And then we're sitting with it in steps 2 and 3. Mm. We're meditating on it, and we're accepting it, and then we're resting in it. That's not a 10-step do.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lean-in process.
Correct.
Out of which true, deep, core transformation is born that then is felt. Just like the moral collapsing of humanity, when they believed the lie, they started mistreating each other.
Mm-hmm.
When we lean into the truth and open our hearts to God doing his thing inside of us, then similarly, but in an opposite sense, our relationships begin to be directly improved.
Mm-hmm.
Not because we're on a 10-step plan of self-improvement, mm-hmm. but because we're leaning into the place of transformation.
Correct. Exactly right. Exactly right. Allowing God to do what he's promising to do
right.
in your life.
Yes. Yes.
And that means, the beauty of seeing God as you see him for who he is, that he's a totally unselfish being,
mm-hmm.
that everything he does is seeking to do for your good.
Mm. At any and all costs to himself.
Any all costs. And listen, bad things happening in this sinful world, right?
Yep,
and that's another subject in itself. But God desires one thing, and that's the good of every human being.
Yes.
So when we see that God is trustworthy, right? So we're leaning into that trust. Because
mm-hmm.
that's the process. Right?
It is.
Leaning into that trust to see that God is trustworthy. So I'm leaning into that trust, and I'm allowing God then to do what he's promising to do
mm-hmm.
and what he's offering, if I so choose.
Right.
Remember, because God doesn't use force.
Yep.
He's leaving you freedom to choose.
Yeah.
Whether you want to lean in or you don't. That's your choice.
Yeah. So we want to come back around to this idea of choosing to lean in. But is it okay if we take a quick segue to the end of the story?
Yes, please.
Because I think it's pretty cool to see the end of this story. We saw the serpent piece at the beginning, which at the beginning of the human story, creation, everything's going flourishingly well. Then the serpent, Satan, shows up at the tree, and Adam and Eve buy into the rebellion. And then there's a bunch of history that happens, and at the end of the scripture as we have it given to us, there's this book called Revelation.
Mm-hmm.
One piece of that says that this war broke out in heaven, the devil and his angels, it points us back to that war, points us back to this fall. But then the end of the book shows us the resolution of this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's incredible to me because of how it pictures our future. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. This is Revelation 21, if you're interested. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. So just quick pause. We talked about the original creation
mm-hmm.
was a space in which relationship was designed to flourish, right?
Mm-hmm.
Into that space comes this moral collapse. and we devastate our own space. The planet's polluted. The ecological system is broken. We do this because of our joining the rebellion. So God says, listen, I'm going to recreate a new space like the original space. And then the story continues. I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. Newsflash. When we talk about the future, most people who claim to be followers of God talk about heaven as the eternal destination. Mm-hmm. Biblical story says the future of human beings is resettling planet Earth. This is our eternal home. We're not going to go into big details. Sure, there's a trip to heaven. Jesus talked about it. But Revelation says we actually end up coming back to resettle a newly minted planet or re-minted planet. Mm-hmm. But here's the cool thing. I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, now listen, God's dwelling place is now among the people. He will dwell with them. They will be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. This is an incredible thing. That God's dream of being with us, when we come to the end of the story, we come into a reminted planet, or we find a reminted planet. We move back into this planet, but the crazy thing is God moves back in here with
us. Wow, that's beautiful.
So wherever God's place of residence is now, the biblical story says God relocates. That's mind-blowing. The withness commitment of God is not simply, I want you to be with me, but may I move into your home.
Wow, that's beautiful. And that's always been his desire, right? If you look at the Eden story, right? To be with us.
Yes, walks with them in the garden.
And you travel through the storyline of the Bible, right?
Right.
You see it's always God's desire for us to be in his presence and him to be with us.
Yes.
But sin, this element that has come in to affect and break this relationship, has separated us physically from being in the presence of God. Mm-hmm. And now here we go back to the book of Revelation, and it's once again just like the Garden of Eden being restored, right? God is setting up a home with us, which is incredible. It tells us a lot about God, about his heart, right? About his desire to be with us and the privilege and the opportunity we have as human beings to embrace this God,
yes,
even here now in this world.
I mean, think of it. We've never captured anything like this in our grandest sci-fi fantasies.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That God, the Creator, moves. Literally relocates.
Wow, that's powerful.
And calls Earth.
Yeah.
At one time, a rebel base, right now, rebel base. In the future, he becomes one of the resettlers.
Mm.
And this is home base for God.
Wow. What a God.
What a God. And the text 22 continues this idea. No longer any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city. His servants will serve him. They will see his face. And his name will be on their foreheads. Name here, by the way, a reference to loving like God loves. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever.
Amen.
In other words, that's the rhythm. The big story is, the long story is, God, through the redemptive work of Christ, through God's big redemption project, restores the rhythm of love in human hearts, restores the rhythm of love as the only way of life once again on planet Earth, and it's that way forever future.
Beautiful, beautiful. How can I be part of that?
I know. Like, that's an incredible, like...
If that's who God is...
An incredible future.
We want to be part of it. Yeah.
Right.
And again, it's wiping away all the lies of the enemy.
Yeah.
Remember, the devil has done... He lied to Adam and Eve in the garden about the truth about who God was.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he sought to do, even through religious circles, right? Down to our time.
Yeah.
But God is seeking to clear up the picture of who he is.
So we can trust him, right?
So we can trust him and embrace him because he wants to embrace us and heal us.
Mm-hmm.
You remember the mission of Jesus, of him coming to this world was not only to show us what God was like, but for those who accepted him, his promise was that he would heal the brokenhearted.
Mm.
He would bind up their wounds.
Mm-hmm.
He would set captives free because we become slaves to habits of sin. We become bondage. Satan wants to hold us in chains, right? To these habits. So he'll set the captive free. He'll set the oppressed free.
Mm-hmm.
We're often oppressed in our minds because of wrong conceptions of God, and perhaps we're trying to do what is right and we're failing miserably, and whatever the oppression may be in the mind, Jesus wants to set us free.
Mm.
He wants to heal. He wants to restore.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to set us free so we can live in the space of being loved by God, even here in this world.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking forward to that world that will come,
the
promise here in the book of Revelation of this restored. But here in this world, we can live in the rhythm of being loved by God daily.
Yes.
We're talking about daily. Waking up in the morning again, looking in the mirror and pinching yourself in the cheek and saying, I am fully known and I am fully loved by God.
Mm.
Not because of what I've done,
yeah,
but because of who he is.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's beautiful.
That's it. And
that's what God is inviting us to embrace.
And then rest, right? That's the fourth piece.
For rest.
Just lay back in that love and be safe.
And be safe. You know, in Revelation chapter 3, Jesus gives, there's this illustration given. He says, in Revelation chapter 3, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice, I will open the door and come into him and sup with him and he with me. I'm going to read it to you again. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, right? It's this picture of God, you know, knocking on the door of a heart, right? So Jesus, specifically here, Jesus knocking on the door of a heart. He says, if any man will hear me and opens the door, I'll come in to him and sup with him and, you know, and he with me, right? Did I say it correctly? Yeah.
It sounds good to me.
Yeah. Dine with him.
Right.
So there's this picture of him knocking at the door. And if we choose to open the door, then he will come in and he will eat with us, so to speak. You know, the blessing of having lunch with somebody, there's a fellowship there, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's a camaraderie there. That's the picture that's given, right?
Right.
That I want to come and do life with you.
Yes. Yes.
Right? I want to come do life with you. So again, he's standing at the door and he's knocking. So let's unpack that.
Yeah, let's unpack. What does that look like?
What's that look like? He's knocking at the door of our heart. Well, God speaks to us in various ways.
Mm-hmm.
We have a sense of longing for something more. That sense of longing, that sense of to love, the need to be loved. That's God really putting it there, right?
So is that part of the knocking?
It's part of the knocking.
Okay,
so he's creating a longing for something more in our life. You mentioned Forbes magazine in another episode for 2023. One of the goals was spiritual wellness that people were seeking, correct?
Yeah.
Right? So because people are longing for something more.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the world we live in. It's crumbling all around us, right? It's just crumbling. And money isn't the answer, right?
We got lots of it rolling around,
fame,
but it's not.
Isn't the answer, right?
Yeah.
We've seen many people become famous only to crash when they're not famous anymore.
Power certainly not the answer.
Or can't handle the fame, right?
You right.
know, power's not the answer. So what is the answer? It's God.
Mm.
It's the Savior of the world.
That's
right?
The water, the H2O that I can't live without. I may try, but I'm going to be thirsty till I get it.
Right. So when God's knocking on the door of our heart, it's not like we feel somebody knocking, right?
Right.
It's just that we're sensing a longing for something better.
Yeah, I love that, helping to sort of unpack what that text means in terms that I get.
Yeah. So God's just you know, we were searching for meaning and purpose in life, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, yeah.
That is the sense of knocking,
mm-hmm.
right? So as we see the beauty of God, and we're seeing God in the story, in the series that we're going through, to define what love is, we're seeing it, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So God is inviting us as we open the door and we're looking at it, right?
Mm.
We're looking at the storyline that
so
we've seen in the series.
So seeing him is kind of opening yeah. that door and seeing who's at the door.
Who's
God's
at the
there.
Door?
What does he look like?
God's there. And what he was offering, going back to the Garden of Eden for the human race, his desire for us to live in his presence, to be able to experience his love and love like he loved. And when we saw that the whole element of the enemy coming in and, mm-hmm. and creating this break of it, but God creating a solution. And the solution was found in Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
mm-hmm.
what we're looking through the door. We're, mm-hmm. We open the door, we're looking. But now we have a choice to make. If somebody knocks on the door of your on your door, on your physical door of your home, and you open the door, do they have a right to come in?
No.
They don't. When do they have a right to come into your house?
When I invite them. Yeah.
No. God is the author of freedom.
Hmm.
He doesn't manipulate. He doesn't coerce. He doesn't use force. Religion may have pictured God like that, but we're setting that on the shelf.
Yes,
now.
Totally.
We're
wrong.
Just looking at the story in the Bible and who God is. So God is the author of freedom.
Mm-hmm.
He'll never violate your freedom.
Mm-hmm.
He respects you, but he's asking you, "Will you let me in?"
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're listening here to us tonight, right? We're speaking to our people listening today, whether it's morning time, whether it's evening time, and you know that God has been speaking to you and you've seen the beauty of who he is and you're longing for something better in your life, open the door and invite him in. And inviting him in is simply saying a prayer and asking Jesus to come into your life,
mm-hmm.
to be your savior,
mm-hmm.
right? Because he died for your sins. So we're inviting him to come in, to live in me,
mm-hmm.
and to implant in me what he's offering, this new heart, this new
mm-hmm.
life. Does
mm-hmm.
that make sense?
Yeah.
We're inviting him in.
You know, I think it is something as simply as saying, you know, God, I see you're beautiful. Come into my life and be company and let's sit down and fellowship together. I want you in me. I want you to be
Amen.
To be part of the rhythm of my life. I want to live life your way.
Beautiful. That's it right there. As simple as that.
Mm-hmm.
As simple as that. And you know, if you're listening tonight and you're sensing that and you're making that choice, or perhaps you have some more questions, we want you to have the freedom to contact us at Love Shaped Life. We're here. We're on a journey just like you are.
Yep.
But we have an email address. It's
Loveshaped.life is the website. Hello@loveshaped.life is our direct email. You can get right through to us. But
let's repeat that. Hello@loveshaped.life.
Right? It'll be in the show notes.
Or they can go right into
the website.
To the website.
Loveshaped.life. And you can reach out for a one-on-one consult with one of us. You want to chat this through. You're like, no, I'm not ready for that, but I'm really curious about what that would look like. We'll have a conversation. We're never going to pressure you, twist your arms, turn you to the wolves. It's always going to be on your terms, and we're going to be here to support whatever next step you're ready to make. We're going to support that.
Yeah.
This is your journey. This is not our journey. We're doing things that for us, for ourselves, we're taking those steps. We're not going to take your steps.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to walk with you and just be present as you process and figure out how to do it.
Yeah. We're just
what
here.
You
we're here
do.
To serve. We're here
exactly.
to help.
Exactly.
No ulterior motives.
No ulterior motives. Our lives are regularly impacted by the wonder of God's incredible
Amen.
Love. And we just
Amen.
Want you to experience what we Amen. Are experiencing.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's it.
All. And we understand the confusion of this world.
Yeah.
We understand oftentimes the confusion of the religious world. And we're just here to help you process, to help you to see the beauty of who God is, and then to experience that for yourself so you can live it in your life. See, experience, and live. That's what Love Shaped Life is all about. That's what we're all about. And that's what we're here for. As pastors, that's what we're here for. We're just here to offer our services to anybody who would like that.
Yes, and I think it's worth noting that you and I have a shared 50-plus years experience of ministry.
We do.
And I'm pointing that out not as a badge of credibility, but as a badge of observation. We have seen and experienced the toxic impact of bad religion. Mm-hmm. So we're not speaking about this story of God's love as some religious propaganda or as some means of padding the books of our organization or of our local church. We've seen toxic religion. We know I've come to the place in my life a few years ago where I was experiencing the toxicity of religion coming out in my own life. So we know the dark side. And so we're not just speaking from our experience in knowing God and experiencing His love. We're speaking from our experience in seeing the toxic side and saying, we've seen the toxic. We know it doesn't work. We know the damage it does. But we've also seen that the truth of God is real and beautiful, and we're inviting you into the good stuff.
Amen.
That's what I'd say.
Yeah.
We can speak from that side of authority of saying, we know, and we've seen plenty of it, but the good stuff is still out there.
Yeah.
And we've tasted it, and we want you to experience it.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
So I think we wrap up.
I think so.
Lean into the love-shaped life. That's it.
Yeah.
Thanks for being with us in season 3. We look forward to seeing you in season 4. The focus is yet to be determined.
For more information, visit loveshaped.life.